The gospel lesson this morning is from the 6th chapter of John. We're reading verse 35 and then verses 41 to 51. And it's printed in your bulletin. I invite you to follow along if you would like. If not, you could hear it the way the original hearers heard it, which was simply with hearing. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me. And I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." This is God's word for us, the people of God. So, we have some catching up to do. The last few weeks, we've been focusing on the UCC Statement of Faith rather than preaching from the lectionary, which is kind of an ordered set of scriptures established by some dudes somewhere at some point. To be honest, I don't know that bit of church history. I know a lot of other bits of church history, but that part I don't know. But it was established, and a lot of us preachers follow it as a guide, and the lectionary usually follows a storyline in the Gospels or the Hebrew Scriptures. And we've been missing that storyline, so we've got some catching up to do, and Matt hinted at it, so let me fill you in a little. While we were thinking about verbs and talking about our statement of faith, there was a breadline gathering in the 6th chapter of John. While we were having fun singing the verbs of our belief, people were lining up for bread in the 6th chapter of John. Over the past few weeks, the gospel lessons in the lectionary were telling the story of this breadline. Because the 6th chapter of John is almost entirely a story of bread. Mobs of people, Jesus, and bread. Hungry people being miraculously fed bread and fish. Curious people following Jesus across the Sea of Galilee seeking more bread. Jesus confusing people by saying that he is bread, the bread of life. And then finally, oh, my favorite piece of the 6th chapter of John, Jesus totally grossing people out by saying that since he is the bread of life, they must eat his flesh in order to have eternal life. But we're going to say more about eating Jesus' flesh in a couple of weeks, so I'll just leave you all with that yummy thought this morning before you all go to brunch. Maybe that's a warning. If you're not into flesh-eating zombies or something, you might want to avoid the 26th. We come into our story today after the feeding of the 5,000. When the crowds followed Jesus across the Sea of Galilee, he has proclaimed to them that he is the bread of life, true bread that has come down from heaven, more life-giving even than that manna which their ancestors received in the wilderness. And not surprisingly, this opens the door for controversy. John names them the Jews. We would know them as the religious traditionalists, we'll say. Those of us who have always done it this way. Those of us who have always heard it this way. Those of us who have always believed it this way. These are the people who get in this controversial argument with Jesus. The religious traditionalists, they are none too pleased with Jesus' latest pronouncement. I am the bread from heaven. I am the bread from heaven. How can he say that? We know where he's from. We watched him grow up. There's only one bread from heaven, and we know what that bread is. We know. We know. How many of us have ever said anything like this? I know what I know, and that's what I'm sticking with. Surely not us. I know what I like. Zucchini. And that's what I'm sticking with. That's where these traditionalists in John's gospel are stuck. They know Jesus' roots. They know their roots. They know their religious heritage. And that's what they trust. Don't ask them to believe anything new or different. They are very self-assured in everything they have always been taught about their ancestors when they went to Sunday school. They know how their ancestors were saved in the wilderness back in the days of Moses. And they are quite confident in what they know about Jesus' background and who his parents were. Unfortunately, they are so confident in what they know and what they've always been taught that they are unable and unwilling to see or hear the truth that Jesus has for them now. Does this sound at all familiar? This would be a great time for a prayer of confession, I think. It's important for us to admit that we are not a whole lot different from the traditionalists in Jesus' day. Why else would we church people, here we go, bicker over which hymnal to use? Why else would we church people bicker over which translation of the Bible to read from? Which version of the Lord's Prayer to recite? Or what name to use for God. And it's not just PUCC, guys. I haven't been here long enough to know about all of your arguments. Every church does this. Because we are as stuck as the traditionalists in Jesus' day. We know what we know, right? We know what we like. Well, friends, as followers of Jesus, we have been invited into the breadline, Jesus' breadline. So it's time that we stop to remember what it is we all know to be true about bread, and then break open that loaf and discover something new. Something that I promise you is sacred and holy and new. So what do we know about bread? Do I have any bread makers out there? Two? Any quick bread makers? I make quick bread. Okay, you two bread makers. What's it take to make bread? Yeast. Flour. A little bit of sugar. Oil. Some kind of liquid, right? Just some real basic stuff. It doesn't take, if you're making plain old white bread, it doesn't take anything much, right? Gotta have some flour, yeast, salt, liquid, something like that. It's basic. Bread is basic. Bread is also a basic staple of our diets, right? Not too many of us go a single day without eating some kind of bread product. Whether it's gluten-free or wheat-free or something, we always need some kind of bread product in our diet. We know that baking bread will fill our homes with a rich aroma, right? So that it can instantly make our mouths water and our tummies grumble. Is Dennis Kelly here? Oh, I called him out. Anybody else a realtor? When I've sold my home, they tell me to bake some bread or chocolate chip cookies because it makes your home smell homey. That's the power of bread. You know you can trust bread. You can trust that bread is going to fill you. It will nourish you. It will fill out or fill in an incomplete meal. Bread can turn ham and cheese into a filling lunch. Or if you're me, it will turn hummus and veggies into a delightful sandwich. It can turn a simple soup or salad into a substantial dinner. Some breads can darn near offer us eternal life. 12 grain, whole wheat, oat bran, right? Guaranteed to keep your heart beating forever. All that cardio. So this is all the basic stuff that we know about bread. And it tells us quite a bit about Jesus, right? Jesus, composed of the same basic ingredients we are. Jesus, who can fill out our simple lives and make them more substantial. Easy to compare Jesus to a basic loaf of bread. Let's crack it open and get some more food for thought. Start with the leavening. You don't see that in the bread. You don't see little bits of leavening in there. The leavening, whether it's yeast or baking powder, or baking soda, the leaven makes the bread rise. Something invisible happens. There's little explosions going on in there between the sugars and the yeast, or the acid and the base, and voila! A shapeless blob of dough is transformed into a spacious ball of dough, doubled in size. Without leaven, the bread is lifeless, flat. Then consider what happens when we eat the bread. The bread breaks down into carbohydrates. That gives energy to our bodies. The carbs strengthen our muscles and they feed our brains. When we eat bread, it becomes a part of us. The vitamins support our nervous system. The fiber protects our cardiovascular system. So it turns out then that bread is cozy and warm and inviting and all that good stuff, and bread is active and vital. Bread can fill us up, body and soul, at the end of a long day, and it activates change and supports life. Activates change. Change. And supports life. Now we all know and love the Jesus who is cozy and warm and inviting bread of life. The Jesus who loves me, this I know. That's the easy Jesus, right? And that's good. That's a part of Jesus, right? But what about that Jesus who, as the bread of life, is a leavening agent? A leavening agent. What about the Jesus who activates change? And what about the Jesus who is absorbed into every tissue and molecule of our being, strengthening and energizing us for the work that we are called, compelled to do? What about that Jesus who feeds our minds and our hearts, bringing them to new capacities? New capacities of understanding and love and acceptance. If we're going to stand in the Jesus bread line, asking to be fed, wanting to be fed, needing to be fed, then we're going to have to be prepared to be changed by the leavening power of that bread which he provides. If we are going to stand in the bread line, asking to be fed, then we are going to have to be prepared to be changed by the leavening agent, that the power of that bread which he provides for us. We must be prepared to be transformed from shapeless and deflated individuals who know what we know, what we've always known. We must be prepared to be transformed into a spacious, life-giving community called and empowered to be bread of life for the world. Jesus needs us to be bread for one another. My favorite line in the communion liturgy is, make this bread be for us the body of Christ so that we may be for the world the body of Christ. He needs us to be filled with nourishment and leavening force. We are the bread of life. Please, let us go out and offer it to the hungry world. Please join